My brothers and sisters in the Lord, probably in recent times or recent history, one of the most famous and popular Christian hymns is the hymn Amazing Grace. I don't know if you know the history of the hymn, but it's very interesting. It was actually written in the 1800s. And so it's been around for over 200 years by a gentleman by the name of John Newton. And John Newton grew up on the sea as a young boy. And because of that time on the sea, he eventually became a captain of a ship. But the ship was one of the ships who brought slaves from Africa to the colonies in the New World in order to work on the plantations. And he did this for several years until at a time in between voyages, when he was back home in England, he had a very profound conversion experience. He eventually became a minister in the Church of England, and he wrote a large book of hymns. And so one of the most famous is Amazing Grace, with those lines, "It once was lost, but now am found." You see, my brothers and sisters, that was a profound saying about his own life and the experiences he had, that he once was lost, but he was found. And I believe the hymn has become popular over the years because it reflects not only our own experience in life, but it does reflect a very unique element of what it means to be Christian, of what it means to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Because when you look at Christianity, my brothers and sisters, it's different than any other world religion. Why is that? It's because of this. God seeks us out. God looks for us. God searches for us, and God finds us. And that's very different, my brothers and sisters. Because in most other world religions, God is up here, man is down here. And the man is striving, trying to get closer and closer to the holiness of God, but usually can never reach it. But as Christians, my brothers and sisters, we have a God who comes and finds us, who searches for us, who seeks us when we are lost. We see hints of this in Judaism, especially in the later prophets. For example, the prophet Ezekiel speaks about the Lord being the shepherd. And even though the shepherd of the people have abandoned the sheep, the Lord, who is the shepherd, is going to go and find them and search for them and seek them. For Ezekiel, he was speaking about the shepherds as being the kings of Israel, who abandoned the ways of God and abandoned the good of the people. But the Lord was going to come to them in their distress and come to them in their time of crisis. You see, my brothers and sisters, that God who comes to us, who seeks us, who searches for us, is the God that we praise each and every day of our lives. If we look at the gospel today, certainly we have the famous parable of the prodigal son. But oftentimes, my brothers and sisters, because of that particular parable, we overlook the first two. And those are very important introductory parables to what Jesus says in the parable of the prodigal son. And it's very important to recognize how Jesus begins in this particular chapter of St. Luke's gospel. He says, tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus, but the Pharisees and the scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." For the Pharisees, my brothers and sisters, God is up there, we are down here. And in order to bridge the gap between God and man, certainly we have to do away with sin. And we would agree with that. But for the Pharisee, you also have to do away with the sinner. Hate the sin, and pretty much hate the sinner too. Get rid of them, categorize them, put them over there, call them out, that's a sinner. And that's why they were so upset. They even go on to say, he eats with sinners. Remember, for the Pharisees, they believed that when the Messiah would come, there would be a banquet of the righteous. Yet Jesus eats with sinners. He welcomes them instead of casting them out. Why? Because we have a God who searches for us. We have a God who seeks us out. In St. John's Gospel, the evangelist speaks of Jesus as the good shepherd who knows us by name. Here in St. Luke's Gospel, he tells that first parable. Who, having 100 sheep and losing one, would not go search for the one and leave the 99? Most of us in our own human experience would say, no way, not doing it. But God searches for the one. The woman searches for the one coin. Notice in the parable of the prodigal son, what does the father do with the eldest son? The eldest son refused to come into the house. It was the father who went to see him. We have a God who searches for us, who seeks us out each and every day, no matter where we may be in our own sinfulness, and our own pride, and our own arrogance, and the messiness of everyday life. Wherever we are at this moment, God searches for us, and he seeks us. And he wants to be in relationship with us. St. Paul in the second reading. I once was a blasphemer and a persecutor and arrogant, but I have been mercifully treated because I acted out of ignorance and my unbelief. Indeed, the grace of the Lord has been abundant, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Of these, I am foremost. The Pharisees wouldn't complain about the Savior coming to save sinners. They would complain about the part about coming into the world. We call it the incarnation. That God so loved the world that he sent his only son so that we may not perish, but that we may have eternal life. God seeks us and searches for us. And he desires to be in relationship with us. A few weeks ago, I was speaking with a young woman who's around my age, who grew up, born and raised here in New Orleans, but left for college. She went to New York City, NYU. And she stayed there. And in the course of the conversation, she said to me, you know, Father, when I left New Orleans and went to New York City, I felt I had to become more, quote unquote, sophisticated. And more sophisticated there in New York City. So I had to take on the more sophisticated role. And as time went on, I really became an agnostic. You know, I still believed that God existed, but God and I, we didn't associate in the same neighborhoods. And she said, one day, as I was working as a lawyer there in New York City for one of the big firms, she said, I was also taking voice lessons. And the voice teacher was going on with a monologue with me, and it was a religious monologue. And she said, the voice teacher saw something in me that I couldn't see. And at the end of the monologue was the simple phrase, God loves you. And so I said it, and the teacher told me, repeat that last line. And I did. And she said it, repeated about 10 times, and I was getting so aggravated. And she said, repeat it, and she did it for about another 10 times, and then all of a sudden it hit me. That God was searching for me. At that big hole that I had inside of me, that I didn't know how to fill, God could fill it. And he did. You see, my brothers and sisters, the great grace of being disciples of the Lord Jesus, of having the name Christian, and of being a Christian, is that God searches us out. He seeks us. And praise God, He will do everything to find us. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, who saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.